Financial
we'll be
literacy.
Back to financial literacy, and Dr. Lynn Gilley will be presenting an update to the board, and you've got a lot of materials in your packet on financial literacy.
Welcome. Thank you, Mrs. Gable.
Sit over here. Oh, excuse me. Good morning, Mr. Smerich, members of the Board of Education.
Welcome.
Appreciate this opportunity to showcase personal financial literacy education in the state of Maryland today. So we define financial literacy as the ability to use knowledge and skills to manage financial resources effectively for a lifetime of financial well-being. Being financially literate is a lifelong process. It occurs through the accumulation of knowledge over time. We need to equip students with the skills and knowledge to make informed financial decisions in order to avoid the financial pitfalls that come about later in life. And we know that this needs to happen early and often throughout their lives. Maryland standards are aligned to the National Jumpstart Standards in Personal Finance Education. I have a copy of them here. Decision-making skills and consumer skills are critical, and they're cross-cutting standards in all standards. So there are six overarching financial literacy standards shown here. Each standard includes the essential skills and knowledge that details what students should know and be able to do by the end of 5th, 8th, and 12th grade. The standards were originally accepted by the State Board in 2010, and you've received a copy of the revised standards that were done in 2016. They look like this in your packet. Once the standards were accepted, the State Board also adopted regulations requiring local school systems to provide an instructional program in personal financial literacy in the elementary, middle, and high school years. It was determined that students should have multiple opportunities to experience financial literacy content. Just as we wouldn't wait until high school to offer mathematics, we know it's important to begin teaching students financial literacy concepts as early as elementary school. Children today, as we know, have a lot of disposable income, and it helps if they develop sound financial behaviors at an early age. Additional efforts included MSDE's participation on national and state councils and commissions, as well as convening Maryland's Financial Literacy Education Advisory Council. The President's Advisory Council on Financial Education was established under President Bush. And so today at the national level, we actively participate in meetings on the Financial Literacy Education Commission, and those meetings are held at the Department of Treasury. Maryland's Financial Education and Capability Commission monitors the implementation of public and private initiatives to improve financial education. The commission makes recommendations on the coordination of financial education efforts across all state agencies, and I attend those meetings for Dr. Salmon. Senator Klausmeier and Delegate Stein co-chair the commission, and Delegate Stein is a strong supporter of our work. The Financial Literacy Education Advisory Council is charged to provide guidance and advice to MSDE to develop, implement, and monitor student personal financial literacy education. We've also forged a number of partnerships to assist in implementing financial literacy instruction in Maryland's public schools, and here are some of our partners listed. They also are on our website and have provided grants, curriculum, professional development for teachers, and support outside of MSDE. We partner with many organizations that provide curriculum and professional development to our teachers. For example, Junior Achievement offers several opportunities for elementary, middle, and high school students to make real-life personal financial decisions. In Finance Park, students in eighth grade receive a scenario with a job and a salary. They have to balance their budget after finding lodging, buying a car, and making all the other financial decisions that we make as adults. Through these experiences, students learn real-life financial skills and what it takes to support a family. Financial Park is also offered virtually to those who don't have a building, but we do have two buildings. One is in Prince George's County at Golson Middle School and Cora Rice Elementary Middle School in Landover, and the new Edison Career Center will have a full Finance Park built in that facility as well in Montgomery County. Today, all 24 local school systems have integrated financial literacy in grades 3 through 12, As you can see from this slide, 17 school systems integrate the content into an existing course, while 7 systems require financial literacy as a graduation requirement. Annually, we survey the school systems, and this report is also in your packet. And we asked them about the implementation of financial literacy instruction locally. We pulled out Calvert County's entry as an example. So you can see on this slide, elementary students in Calvert County receive instruction on a variety of financial topics, including wants and needs, supply and demand, opportunity costs. And students are also using EverFi, an online interactive digital platform that allows students to make financial decisions and see the results or consequences of those decisions. At the middle school level, students receive financial literacy instruction through family and consumer sciences courses. At the high school level, they're taking a required graduation course in Calvert County. So as I stated earlier, our partnerships allowed us the opportunity to apply for grants. To date, we've received over $500,000, which was used for teacher professional development and the expansion of instructional resources. A list of those resources is also in your packet. It's just a single sheet that looks like this. We also have a very robust website on the Maryland Public Schools URL. We also partner with the Maryland Cash Campaign and the Maryland Financial Literacy Coalition to annually present financial literacy awards to honorees before the Maryland House of Delegates and the Senate. Awards are given to outstanding elementary, middle, and high school teachers, as well as to the community champion who engages in financial education outside of their normal work. One Main Financial and the Woodside Foundation each provide funding for $1,000 grants to each of the winners, and they can use that money any way they'd like. Some have actually donated it back to support financial education. So I'm very proud of the work that we've done here at MSDE to promote financial literacy education, and I'm opening the floor to questions.
Thank you so much. Questions? Dr. Guyton.
Thank you. I think this is very important for us to champion. I know that I don't personally have any evidence that my Maryland high schooler has any of these skills at this point. So my question really has to do with, I know we're talking a lot about embedded curriculum in some of the LEAs. What are the different levels of that? I know some of them actually have a course dedicated to this, and others, when you talk about embedded material, what's approved or considered enough? I know looking at a couple of these, it seems like financial literacy curriculum is embedded into some courses that most kids don't take, so economics or business or things like that. So I think that would be a concern for me, is trying to see them integrated into courses that every student takes before they graduate.
Well, that can happen, but according to our regulation, across the learning levels beginning in grades 3, every school system has to certify to Superintendent Salmon on an annual or 5-year basis that they are including financial literacy content. It doesn't have to happen every year. Our standards are by grade band, 3 to 5, 6 to 8, 9 to 12. And we hope that they're integrating the content in the 3 to 5 band that's required there at some point. We don't require it at each grade level. It's a part of the grade bands or in the standards. When you look at the standards, you'll see they're not grade by grade.
Dr. Finn.
So is there any evidence that you have about whether the kids are learning it?
We do a pre-graduate survey, and the results of that are in your packet.
But
we ask them, it's self-report. We don't have any direct evidence other than we do have partners who provide us with evidence. For example, every year EverFi comes in and meets with me and my staff. EverFi is in 18 of the 24 school systems. They do a pre and post test of every student before they do the modules. They test them and afterward, and they show the gain in knowledge. Now, knowledge is good.
They're a vendor, aren't they?
They're a nonprofit.
So they're evaluating their own intervention.
Correct. But they do provide us with the evidence of whether or not the students are learning the content that's being taught to them. It's aligned to our state standards.
Dr. Lee.
So I have a question, because as I hear about this topic, and I also think it's incredibly important for all high school students to have mastered this before they leave, there's been talk over the years, I think, of making it a requirement. Can you just summarize for me the pros and the cons and kind of the path of what that suggestion has led to and why it hasn't been implemented?
I'd be happy to do that. We have, in the past, done quite a bit of research as to whether or not a graduation requirement in financial literacy makes a difference. There is some evidence to suggest both pros and cons. Some of it says it does, some of it says it doesn't. We had researchers come in from Harvard Business School, Wellesley College, and a bank. They partnered together, a trio of researchers, and they showed us that the research on one single graduation requirement or standalone course shows inconsistent results as to whether or not students really retain the knowledge. What they said is that it's the accumulation of knowledge over time, the culmination of many experiences and lots of deep early exposure to content that helps students develop better financial behaviors. It also told us that students who took more courses in mathematics were better at managing finances. They did a longitudinal study and they found that students who took more required mathematics, which typically makes sense because a lot of what you do with your finances is mathematical, had fewer bankruptcies, less foreclosures, less problems managing their money. And so that is why we promoted the grade 3-12 approach. We're actually not funding any of the programs. Most of the programs are free. The resources that we have online at our website, Maryland Public Schools, are free resources. And there are many, many excellent resources out there. We look at some of them. We partner with a lot of the organizations. It's not for a lack of knowledge. Remember, it's heavily behavioral. What we have found is that people can know better but not do better. We all know not to eat donuts if we have high cholesterol, but we eat them anyway. And unfortunately, wants and needs drive people to purchase things they can't afford. I serve with a mortgage banker on the commission, and he has said he would like just once for someone to come in and apply for a mortgage and say, how much do I qualify for instead of how much can I get? And so we deal with that, you know, all the time with behavioral economics.
Can I just ask a question on number one, under the questions about financial literacy, it references the fact that the state standards will be adopted in Comar, possibly by the State Board of Education, and then the content is required to be taught to all students. So where are we in that process right now?
We have adopted the standards, and they are in Comar. I have a copy of the Comar if you'd like it.
Okay. So it is necessary, it is required that all students have this, but not at every level, it sounds like.
No, grades 3-12, but by grade band, which means if they don't teach it in third, mm-hmm. they can teach it in fourth and fifth, but they have to teach it by the end of fifth, by the end of eighth, and by the end of 12th.
Okay.
Some people have, you know, a standalone requirement in high school, which, you know, has actually precluded students from taking IB, AP, or even finishing CTE, which is, of course, Career and Technology Education is near and dear to my heart. So I don't like to see that happen. Mia, I'll give you a copy of the regs in case anybody would like.
I want to come back again to the question of evidence of learning, not of teaching, of learning. Do districts in any way document the learning that has occurred in this subject?
There was a financial literacy assessment at this national level years ago, and they've stopped doing it. But some of our school systems have participated in that in the past to see how well their students do on that assessment. We don't have any standardized assessment that I can speak to.
But
that
do
would
districts have their own?
Some do. Some actually do assess students' knowledge on financial literacy. But again, I go back to the issue of behaviors. They can pass a test on the vocabulary related and the content related, but it's inculcating those behaviors.
I understand, but schools cannot take responsibility for behavior. They can take responsibility for knowledge and skills.
I agree.
I'm asking you whether our districts take responsibility for the acquisition of knowledge and skills in this field by their students.
I would
whether
have to say that
demonstrate it.
Well, some do. Some do through assessing the content that is delivered by their choice of provider. Some do. Junior achievement, for example, if there is an assessment associated with the content, then students take that assessment. But it's based on the provider. And that's why we try to associate with providers who do check for understanding, who do check for knowledge gains.
It's optional for districts whether any form of student learning will be assessed.
That's correct.
So would it make sense for us to see, maybe in the next month or so, just a list by jurisdiction of what assessments are being used in this
what
area?
What evidence they are able to submit of learning. I'm not interested in a statewide assessment. Let me be clear. I'm interested in whether every district in the state that is implementing these standards, which they are required to implement, is finding a way to determine whether it's making any difference in their students.
Sure, we can check that out. I'd be happy to follow up on that.
Thank you. That'd be great.
I'd like to speak to that point, if I could, briefly. I was just going to say I'm from Charles County, and so as I look through the report, obviously, Charles County does have a specific class dedicated to financial literacy, and there are a number of ways that students can meet that requirement. You know, you can do summer school. You can obviously take the course for the duration of the school year. But in terms of looking at evidence, I think what's great is that we actually have, as you were saying, some of the online providers, and I forget who provides financial literacy for us because I actually took it this past summer. And so there was a series of things that we had to do in terms of meeting the examinations. You know, there were quizzes, there were tests, there was an overall final exam that you had to take. So there definitely are things that I think we could help implement. And that's why I think, going back to Dr. Lee's point earlier, that it would be easier to have a class designated for it. I know that there are pros and cons to that, but I think it would be easier just in terms of understanding whether or not a student has actually learned that material and actually has, you know, been receptive to it. I think that would be helpful, and that would just be my note as a student.
Yes, please.
I think we can get a quick answer to that. Dad's in the audience. Has he learned anything?
You're not under oath.
Thumbs up.
It's a lifetime skill, so you're going to have to keep learning all your life. Trust me. Yeah. It's a lifetime skill, so it's an important one, too. We agree. Thank you.
We're going to have to move along here in a second. Dr. Harding's? No? Okay, so just evidence on the assessment would be helpful. And then, Dr. Lee, any other questions, comments? We're going to talk later about a task force on general graduation requirements and diploma issues, and so we can maybe come back to this, like how do financial literacy standards and assessments and requirements fit into the bigger picture of graduation. Okay, so let's take a break. It's 11:05. Come back in 15 minutes, 11:20, to get back at it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry.